Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hello, everybody. Chuck Bonnewell, Julie Hayden, True Straight Up here on the 4th of July weekend.
That's right. Happy Party Friday. Double reason to be partying. Happy Party Friday. Happy 4th of July. The show is brought to you in part by happytrees.co, a great landscaping company, along with Denver Cenogenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. The Sword of Soros himself, Ted Trimpa, will be joining us here on Zoom. I think around 3:30, he had some Sword of Soros work that he had to do for so many.
Destroying parts of the country.
How to destroy parts of the country. He can't use me. Just kidding, Ted. Well, not really. But a lot of talk about today. I wanted to start off with, so in Denver, congratulations, Avs. They had a big celebration in Denver, huge celebration. I mean, tens and tens of thousands of people, right? At Civic Center Park, celebrating the Avs winning the Stanley Cup.
First thing that could happen in Colorado in a while.
Yeah, really. And maybe with the Broncos and Russell Wilson, we can see there. But they may not let Mayor Hancock and Jared Polis do any talking at that event because they did not get a very good reception. And you know what? These kind of things, because it was in Denver Civic Center Park, they always let, you know, Mayor Hancock, because he's a mayor of Denver, and the Jared Polis.
Is it really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they let them talk, right? Oh, they're politicians. I'm going to mute you, Chuck, if you don't knock it off. and they let them talk. But Mayor Hancock got a resounding boo, as did Jared Polis. And so we want to start off. This is quick. But listen to this. Thomas, if we could please play the Polis interview. This is Jared Polis getting booed as Hancock introduces him. Booing, and Hancock got even a bigger boo. And people on social media saying that's because you risk being, you know, stabbed and murdered if you went down there after you could, you know, afford the gas price and the Uber price and things like that.
Well, you're told that Jared Polis is an incredibly popular governor who can't be beat. He's right. Just so popular. Everybody loves him. And then he appears at a rally and the crowd can't get more booze.
No, it's like the Let's Go Brandon thing. And I'll tell you why everybody's booing him. And this is what we all know, because I'm going to talk about this a little bit today. Everything sucks. I mean, I'm sorry, but it does. It sucks under Biden. It sucks under Polis. It sucks under Hancock. And there is no sign of it getting better. And what's worse is we've been talking about the show. They want it to suck. It's sucking on purpose. That's intentional on their part. The economic news said, I don't know. You guys, we're going to be doing this show in our hundreds if we live that long, because we can never retire, because I don't know what it'll, our 401k, the Wall Street has had its worst first half of the year since what, the 1970s? Something like that?
For positive. I think probably 2008, but.
But like ever? Not ever. But if so, I mean, whatever money you had, I mean, what did Trump tweeted? It's lost like $17 trillion something.
$17 trillion. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah,
that's
not that anyone needed that money. So they've got that. The Fed and Atlanta, I mean, they're kind of trying to massage the numbers, but it's not going to work. We're probably officially in a recession. Now, CNN is saying because 8 white economists call it a recession. So
it's
racist. No. That's right. It's just racist that you were in a recession. Mm-hmm. What else is, I mean, the gasoline prices continue to go up. Now, you know,
but if you're planning to fly on this 4th of July weekend, you're all set.
No.
You are all set. Yeah, I'll just be waiting at the airport for days.
Wait, what are they projecting it to be, like an airline flight Armageddon?
Yes.
You know, what did the the Purdue, the Biden administration has been trying to say, oh, the problem is consumer demand, consumer demand. Well, the latest statistics coming out say consumer demand is plummeting, which of course it is, which means that now factories are shutting down. Even Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg is saying, okay, look, we're postponing any of the hiring we were going to do. Our stock has been clobbered. And actually, we don't want to lay people off. So if any of you whiny woke people right now, and he said, you
well,
know,
he's a whiny woke
he's
person,
a whiny woke person, but he said, if you don't want to work here, don't, because we need to get rid of people. I mean, it's bad all over the place. And there's no reason it's going to get any better, because no.
Well, that's not true. President Biden, President Biden said, yes, these gas prices are hurting people, but they'll continue till the Ukraine war is over and won. So unless we win the Ukraine war, and do it. So it'll be sort of like Afghanistan, you know, at 25 years, you know, and then we can
grandchildren.
Yes, great grandchildren.
May see,
gas prices, you know. So he's saying he's doing whatever he can to keep gas prices down, but he just can't do anything. So it'll keep on going up.
Side, I guess, in terms of lawsuit and 401ks, if everyone's getting fired and laid off and not hired in the first place because there is no consumer demand anymore because prices are so high, you don't really have to worry about your 401k because you don't have one.
Yeah.
So I guess it doesn't bother you that Wall Street is crashing. So that's all bad. On top of all of that, too, that's all Putin's fault. The conservative treehouse, guys, I can't recommend that enough. He's been saying this forever, food supply shortage. That's the next fun thing that's coming up because they're not letting anybody, any of the countries that grow, they're not letting the wheat come out of Ukraine. They're not allowing some of the countries in Africa to use fertilizer because that would be bad for the economy, you know. They're creating a food shortage too. And it's actually too late because there is going to be a food shortage in parts of the world. It's just a question of how bad is it, because they had to have the fertilizer to plant the food, to grow the food months ago. So that wasn't happening because it was too expensive, and it's not going to keep happening or can start up because it's too expensive. Because, hey, we would sure hate, you know, for the Green New Deal and the Build Back Better thing to not come.
It's a transition, Drew, but transitioning to a bright new future.
Well, and that's Putin's fault also. Okay. I got news for the Democrats, and we're going to talk about their prospects here. When you're in the middle of an energy crisis, when you're in the middle of an economic crisis, when you have a food shortage going on, you're not really so concerned with whose fault it is as you are with who's going to fix it and how, right? So the Democrats...
Well, but if you can fix the election, you don't need to worry about
that's part number two.
Pesky
a couple of consequences. Beliefs. This from Jim. Election have stolen consequences. Stolen elections have catastrophic consequences. Mm. Steve Bannon. And Leo, when the shit hits the fan, sorry, don't try to sleep under my bridge. Yeah. You have a bridge, Leo? We'll be joining you under your bridge. Oh, I know. You know, and it sounds funny, but people we know and have friends who have talked about preparing for the worst, right? And and as someone who was caught without enough toilet paper in the pandemic, you begin to wonder. But here's the thing, though, that what is so dangerous about it, and then I want to talk about the Democrat strategies for going into the midterms is this is intentional. This is part of their plan. The elites, the global elites, the elites in this country, they don't feel like this is going to hurt them as much. And they don't care that it's hurting other people. They think they know what's best for the country. They know certainly what's
best
for them.
For them. Yeah,
yeah,
best
exactly.
For the country, maybe not.
I think some of the true believers are like, well, if we have, you see those idiots in the media, the Washington Post saying, well, so what if we have to have a little bit of pain at the pump? Isn't that worth it for climate change? You're killing our children, by the way.
What was it? Lane Kagan said the half the East Coast is going to be underwater pretty soon.
Right.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Does Obama know that? Didn't they just build a new house there or buy a new house there?
Well, Martha's Vineyard.
And Joe won't be able to go back to Delaware as much, I guess.
Well, Rehoboth Beach won't be there.
Well, it'll be in Washington, D.C. now. Yeah, it'll be a lot closer.
He won't have to commute as much.
He won't have to ride the train like he does.
Oh, that's right. Right.
But here's the thing, though. Again, it's intentional. They want to destroy things. They're happy to destroy things. And if you think we're lying, we have a soundbite from CNN. CNN had, they were interviewing the Biden's, this is what's scary, Biden's economics advisor, right? Guy by the name of Brian Deese. He's a National Economic Council chair. So he's from the White House. And CNN was saying to him, you know, Biden has like 85% of the people say the country's on the wrong track. Everything is more expensive. What do you guys have to say about this? And his answer was, well, it probably won't shock you, but it should scare you. If we could please play Thomas, the liberal world order soundbite.
Is it sustainable? What do you say to those families who say, listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
And what do they mean? What does that mean, the liberal world order? What does that mean? I think it means the BlackRock world order, number one, the BlackRock investment company. But what do you think it means?
It means that what it's meant forever. It means that whatever the richest Davos world economic forum people want to do, that has to be done. I mean, so we have to endlessly kill people in Ukraine till we'll defend Ukraine until the last dead Ukrainian. That's what it means. They don't care. Just, you know, the 800 million or how many billions, just 800 million more than billions. And I mean, it's just, you cannot put enough money into Ukraine because we had to stop pouring all, at least some of the money into Afghanistan. They just print it, borrowed from the Chinese, and happily go on. It's just a terrifying deal, and the globalists are everywhere.
I think a lot of it starts with their failed energy policy, right? So they had the failed energy policy. So they want gas prices to go up. They want to stop. And the thing is, they're not idiots. They know that, okay, so if we all need energy, so if we're not going to let people use coal, we're not going to let people use nuclear, we're not going to let people use gas, you know, fossil fuels, we have to let them use something. Now, we don't have that something yet. So common sense would indicate, well, let's wait till we have something to replace these other things before we start
cutting them
off.
Well, in Germany, they're running out of firewood. So that's a good sign. We're headed for this freezing
I guarantee you, they're not going to let people burn in their fireplace because that would pollute, right?
Let them freeze.
So they know that they're doing this, and they're doing it on purpose. And again, now you throw in fertilizer, all this other stuff, and it's the kind of thing that it's intentional. And again, as they said, well, we need to do this as we transition to the liberal world order. And that's not a good place for the rest of us. So I don't know, and we'll get into the cheating. So I think it's a bad place for the Democrats to be, but they apparently, and we'll talk to Ted about this, released their strategy for the midterms. And that is, they're going to focus on the January 6th insurrection.
Because we've all been watching that. I mean, that's just Watergate hearing too.
That's right. And they're also going to be pushing the Roe v. Wade.
Roe v. Wade. Yeah. Get abort those babies. Come on.
That's right. And then this is the best one, I think. They're going to push the fact that some candidates are Make America Great Again candidates.
Well, there you go.
That should work. Now here's
luckily you don't have any of those in Colorado, Lauren Boebert. So you can get nice rhino candidates here in Colorado.
That's right. But here's the problem. And I think this is the thing that they aren't taking into consideration. Now, granted, this is just one poll and it's from, but it is from Emerson College, which is not, I think, a conservative known for being conservative. This was reported in The Hill today. In a poll, sort of a hypothetical 2024 matchup, right? Trump beats Biden 44% to 39%. That's up. Right. That's up from what it's been lately.
Well, what after they do the adjustments?
What do you mean?
The election adjustments.
Oh, well, all right. That's without the adjustments.
Okay.
That's without the election adjustments. The election adjustments.
After those ballots come in a little late.
So that's Trump. Okay. That's Trump. But then, so their plan to run on the anti-MAGA, to criticize people for being MAGA, the other candidate, so DeSantis wasn't even close. When they were asked, okay, who do you prefer to be the Republican nominee? 55% said Trump. 20% said DeSantis, Only 9% said Pence, and there was a handful of other people.
Nikki Haley. Now, who wants Nikki Haley?
So clearly, Trump remains very popular.
Well, you know, I'm telling you, he's not. He's losing his thing. Brett Hume said, no, he's not as popular as he used to be. And well, yes, Brett Baer. I mean, Brett Baer doesn't think he's popular at all.
So I don't get it. I mean, maybe the Democrats live so much in their echo chamber that they think the rest of us out here aren't noticing that there's still a baby food shortage, baby formula shortage, right? Tampon shortage. This is from the people, maybe if they quit spending so much time worrying about a woman's right to have an abortion and maybe a woman's right to take care of her feminine hygiene needs and a man too, if you want to, I don't care, whoever, if you want him, or to feed their children, right? They don't care about that. It's just this Roe v. Wade. So I just think they have a losing strategy.
Well, they got a strategy to get around that. And that is to cheat the hell out of everything. And as Biden has said, there's another pandemic coming right around the corner just in time for the election. There's no Democratic candidates that are any good. There's no Democratic, you know, I think Roe v. Wade will help energize their base, so that'll be good for them. But other than that, they have nothing to offer except bromides and transition to the new world order.
Right. And here's some of the comments. This is from Jim Jackson. Without Tina Peters, Colorado will need a 70% Republican majority to win any election. That's true. That. Sandra notes the key word here is world order. Never forget Obama's one world order comment. No, that's true. They're not joking about this liberal world order. That was a president's economic advisor, right? He is more concerned about the liberal world order and getting that in place. He doesn't care how much it hurts you. And that's the guy.
Well, don't hurt them. They're fine.
They're fine. And that's this from Leo. Are there solar powered ships that are going to ship those solar panels from China? Exactly. And what do they build them with, by the way? Solar power. And from Jacob, in and near the city of Boston, where they are building new housing, the subdivision is it not allowing gas pipes to be laid on electric line? Oh, that'll work out well for them in Boston because it never gets cold there. Yeah. And from Sandra, all one needs to see is the people at Trump rallies to know he continues to be popular. Exactly. Hey, and TJ,
same with the Biden rallies, where they're just massive numbers of people come out and cheering on. But now,
TJ, I don't know if he admitted Ted or not. Do we have Ted up there? I saw Ted entering.
He's coming.
TJ, there he is.
Ted Drimba.
Hey there. How you doing?
Hey.
How are you?
Doing great.
Love the opportunity.
A little depressed with the primary results, but you know, that's okay.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, were you at the Avs rally where the governor and the mayor were so roundly applauded?
Did you see that? Did you see the?
No, I actually didn't see it. No.
We just played it. So.
We just played it. It was louder for Hancock than it was for Polis. So
he's hated more.
But he's Polis. The most popular governor
ever
because he's so moderate in the history of Colorado, Ted.
We all love
him. He's a great governor.
Yeah, of course he is.
I like what they're doing here in Colorado is on the one hand, they're telling us that they're going to get rid of the gas tax fee, but they're going to raise the fees on Uber, DoorDash, Amazon, and anything you rely on that drives too. No. So that was not a good idea, I don't think.
What do you expect Democrats to do?
Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Well, let's maybe jump in because I know you were behind some Democrat meddling in the Scott McGuinness race.
2010.
Yes, that's true. Yeah,
but apparently you were not involved. Am I right here? I'm reading from, I think I read the Colorado Sun article in this Democrat meddling.
Correct. Yeah, no, I wasn't involved at all.
That's good.
Yeah, because it was ridiculously stupid.
All right. Talk about that.
Well, no, first of all, it was really confusing. The message that you were trying to get, no matter which audience that they were trying to go to or try to address or try to manipulate, I seriously could not figure it out. And I purposely watched the ads, you know, multiple times. I mean, the Lopez one I got. I mean, that was easy to read. I tell you, the O'Day one was like beyond me.
And then
the Hanks. Because, you know, I mentioned this to the Sun when I was talking to them, but it has to be super simple and it's got to be about something that people can directly relate to. And what they were doing in these ads, I mean, it was too cute by half.
That's what I mean. When we first started getting the mailers, right, we were like, is this a double faint kind of thing? You know what I mean? It was, because I agree with you, it was confusing. So
if you have to think about it, if you have to spend 5 seconds thinking about it, it doesn't work.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think, you know, if you were to be able to say something like, you know, Heidi Gnall is a Satanist, so vote for Ron Hanks. I mean, that's simple and you get that, right? That would be.
Even though they're different races.
But you know, if you're a Satanist, you're going to be confused.
So. Yeah, that's right.
So why did the Democrats, is this something? Because
they did it nationally.
They spent a ton of money. They did it nationally.
And if you take a look at the entities where they ran the money through, it was clear that this was a coordinated effort in multiple places. Right. And I'm thinking that this is something where a group of consultants sold a bill of goods and said, look, you know, we can do this. It's $20 million. They get a percentage of what it is.
Yeah.
And the way they went. And, you know, and I know a lot of these people are people that you support, but it's playing with fire.
Yeah.
You know, some of these folks, you know, at least from my perspective, I wouldn't want winning. I mean, if O'Day wins, O'Day wins. The world's not going to come to an end.
Well, in fact, he's a Democrat. In fact, you know, he supported Obama. He loves Hickenlooper. He did it to Bennett. The world isn't going to end. Abortion will continue.
It only took me less than 2 minutes to light you on fire, Chuck.
Yeah, well, of course. It doesn't take much. How about that wonderful Pam Anderson? There's a Zuckerberg Republican, if you've ever seen one. What a beauty she is.
Give me reasons why Tina Peters should be Secretary of State.
Oh, because she runs honest elections and your Secretary of State doesn't. She doesn't try to dictate every and get rid of every county clerk office in the state.
If you're indicted, that doesn't mean anything.
What do you mean it doesn't mean anything?
Bill
Clinton was indicted.
That's right.
Bill Clinton was happily indicted.
And that's a whole other argument because I want to get back.
Edwin Edwards, your favorite Louisiana governor, was indicted.
Here I am. I'm handing it to you on a silver platter.
I know. It's great
you're
stuff.
You're cheering him up. He's been depressed.
Well, here's my view of the election. You know, it's as if the Democrats for you had elected all anti-gay Democrats to run in the election. And you kind of go, oh, who's on my side? If the Republicans win, I'm not in good shape. If the anti-gay Democrats win, I'm not in good shape. So who do I root for? So do I root for O'Day and Pam Anderson and Barbara Kirkmeyer? There's an honest politician.
I have a question.
Okay.
So wouldn't you agree that in order to exercise power, you have to have power?
Yes.
And to have power, don't you have to win?
Democrats, it's not necessary. You just rig it.
It may be, you know, one fifth of a loaf, but at least you have a fifth of a loaf.
You've got people who will destroy your family faster than you've ever seen. I know you do, Julie.
But you used
to be a Democrat. You can become a Democrat again, Julie.
Come on back. Come on back.
The door is always open.
You know,
the door is always open.
I have the granola ready to go.
And here's the bad part for Republicans for the election. Now, if it had been one in which the grassroots won a couple races and the Democrats, Republicans won some others, then everybody would have somebody, if you're handing out literature, calling on your side. When the establishment wins every major race, everyone, there's no point. I mean, all those people went to the state assembly and nominated Tina Peters, all the people who went to all the other ones, none of them are going to work. And I know that because I just got an email from Caucus Room, which is, why is it, you know, why is Phil Anschutz equivalent to Voldemort?
Hey, that's your world, not mine.
Well, no, you know Phil's guys. You talk to him. He is never mentioned. I mean, there was a big article on, so both the Washington Examiner, owned by Phil, and the National Review, which is not owned by Phil. Anyway, the editorial boards said that Cassidy Hutchinson was so tremendous.
Stellar bombshell.
So great that means Trump, it's over. It's over because Cassidy is so believable and we love her so much. But not one.
And even CNN.
Yeah, even during this, they say, and the Washington Examiner is owned by the same group. that own the Weekly Standard. You kind of go, it's not the same group. It's the same person, which is Bill Anschutz. But they never, his name is never mentioned ever. It's like, you know, he's too terrifying for mankind to be able to foster anything. But here's the good part.
Wait, let him answer a question.
Oh, okay.
Why is his name never mentioned? Do you have any?
Can you say his name? Are you allowed to say his name? Can you say Phil Anschutz?
Well, I could say Phil Anschutz. I have nothing to do with him. Well, okay, this is where I come down on a side that usually is with people from your universe rather than mine. And that is I think in some instances, you should be non-disclosed. I mean, why should everybody have to know? Spending money is free speech. And if we were to disclose everything, so let's disclose every member of the NRA. Let's disclose every member of the gun rights clubs that are to the right of the NRA in Colorado. Let's disclose every member that's part of Planned Parenthood.
Well, so your job is to hide dark money, right? You love harassed. Dark money. You are dark money.
So you can't push money out of politics. You can't push money out of you can't say that newspapers at the turn of the 20th century were not controlled by the people that ran them and the people that had the money.
So what's that have to do with saying Phil Anschutz?
It's the same thing today. Same thing today.
He's just saying that you shouldn't have to make. Hey,
you shouldn't know. Do you know who controls the Independence Institute?
Well, I have some ideas about who funds it, but I'm not going to say.
Oh, really? Well, could you give us a name? Give me one name. Oh, no, he can't give us a name because Voldemort cannot be mentioned. Cannot be. Who funds Caucus Room?
They've been trying to get, not trying, they've been inviting me to come speak to them for like a decade. And I'm like, so when's this invite going to be real?
I don't know. But who funds it?
I honestly don't know.
Come on. Try Voldemort, huh? Just give it a try.
All right, you're having fun here. I want to go on.
Basically, what you're doing, Chuck, is you're presenting multiple choice questions where answer A is Bugs Bunny, answer B is Santa Claus,
and answer C is Voldemort.
Answer C
is Voldemort.
The homeless person on the street corner. I'm sorry, the unhoused person on the street corner. And D, Voldemort.
Yeah, that's right. D would be the answer, would be the correct answer if you didn't happen to know. And I think you do know because you know everything. You know everything.
I want to ask back to strategy though.
Let me finish this. The Republicans, so all those people in the assembly, they have no candidates left. They're none. There's not a single one unless you consider Lauren Boebert, and she's not really grassroots either. So no grassroots candidates. And that's why Caucus Room, run by Voldemort, is taking Voldemort's money, which is about $1 million, $2 million for paid volunteers. They're paying $15 to $20 and more if you work more hours. In lieu of course, all those caucus people who do it voluntarily and are going to help Voldemort.
Yeah, they're taking a page from you guys. They're just hate people.
So basically what you're saying, Chuck, is that you would rather not be in power. And be right.
Oh, we're not in power. Hey, you may have checked. We're not in power. You're in power. Yeah. You may have noticed that.
I don't know for how long.
You control the House, the Senate, the governorship. You control Denver, which you've turned into a shithole, and everything else that you guys do. But anyway.
Well, let me go.
We've been busy.
You have.
That leads me to what I want to ask. So I was reading a thing today. So we have although CNN is blaming it on racism, but in a recession, because CNN says it's white economic advisors who are calling it that. Yeah. My 401k, I don't even look at it. You don't look at it anymore. Inflation is high. I mean, bad news all around. Fortunately, the Biden's White House economic advisor, let me ask you about this. When he told CNN that this is all okay because we need to do it for the new liberal world order. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see it. That's absolutely ridiculous.
he shouldn't have said that.
First of all, what is this new world liberal order?
Well, it's what we're
What they think this is. Two, if you're talking about old and liberal in the sense of old, like classical liberal, it would be conservative. And why don't we just admit the fact that we're in an environment where inflation is really high? And we can sit around and talk about why inflation's high, but let's figure out a way to get it down. Let's figure out a way to accelerate the effects of what's going on, rather than acting like it doesn't exist, rather than blaming somebody else let's just say, this is what it is. This is how we're going to fix it. We're going to look forward. If you want a rearview mirror, get in your car.
But the trouble they have, though, is number one, you mentioned the word car. They can't fix it because in order to fix it, they have to have gas prices.
That was good. That was good.
So they have to get gas prices so that we can afford to be in the rearview mirror. And I guess we'll all be living in our cars so we can look in the rear. I mean, isn't that the problem they have? They can't fix it because in order to fix it, they'd have to give up their new liberal world order.
Depending on what the new liberal world order is, it may be what they're trying to say, and they just did a really poor job because they're probably all Harvard graduates and Ivy League graduates, and they like have their heads in the clouds all the time and think that they're smarter than everybody else. Is because of the new world environment in terms of what Putin's done and the way the economy has shifted, you know, the sanctions and what's happening, and you know, democracy is on the rebound in terms of what people, at least from my perspective, folks, you know, getting together. We have NATO getting together, but the, you know, economy's changed. And I'm betting that what they're thinking is this is now evolving because we have an evolving relationship with China. You know, what's going on with Russia is changing the economic structure of how, you know, Europe operates. So that is the new order.
Liberal world order. Well, so they've got that, but they also then, I was reading a thing, the Democrat strategy for the midterms is to focus on the January 6th hearings.
Everybody's watching every second. And then, have you watched any of that?
And then Roe.
You know, I have, but I'm a geek.
Oh, okay. How much of it have you watched?
I would say a third, maybe.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot.
Yeah. Well, but anyway, they want to run on January 6th. And Roe v. Wade, and also to criticize anybody who's a MAGA candidate. It doesn't seem to me.
Okay, if those are the three things we're going to run on, we're going to lose.
Okay, that's this is out of Politico. So.
No, we're going to lose. I mean, we can sit here and talk about January 6th, and we can argue is it too politically motivated or whatnot. I was actually having a conversation with Rosh, which you guys know is my right-wing husband that works at Fox. And I said, you know, from my perspective, if 20% of what's coming out of the January 6th hearings are true, then these are some things that we really need to take seriously and we really need to address. We can argue about that. Let's put that aside.
Right.
Because people aren't watching it and really aren't paying attention. To say that you're going to run on that, what are you going to do? Educate people with 10-minute ads?
Yeah. Yeah.
Get the same group to put it out there.
You have to put something up, you know, that's 30 seconds. And how do you explain all of this in 30 seconds? I mean, I think it's difficult to do. What were the other two?
Roe v. Wade.
Okay. Do I think this decision's outrageous? Yes. But you know what? It's the system that we live in.
Yeah.
And we respect the system that we live in. And do I find it very troubling that we had a constitution, from my perspective, we had a constitutional right and they just took it away? Yes. But you know what? Burning houses down and saying you want to get rid of the Supreme Court is not a way to solve the problem. You just have to elect different people.
Right. Well, it can go to the states.
I'm a expand the Supreme Court person because you know, the number of Supreme Court justices has moved all over the map throughout our history. There's not like some sacrosanct reason around 9.
Right.
And then what was the third? I'm sorry.
Here's why I'm asking about the third one. They were saying
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
They were going to hammer on the fact that Make America Great candidates, right? But then I want to talk to you. There was a poll out. Granted, The Hill is reporting it from Emerson College that in a generic poll, Trump beats Biden in a 2024 matchup 44% to 39%. And Trump is by far, when asked who would you support for the Republican nominee, by far. So to me, it seems anti-MAGA thing is a loser too.
This anti-MAGA thing is like deplorables.
Yes.
You're basically looking at a large percentage of the electorate, large percentage, and you're saying you're stupid.
Yes.
Well, exactly. That's really a way to win people over.
That was Hillary's idea, and as you noted.
You know, actually, as a side note, I was at that dinner when that was said.
Really?
That was actually a big gay dinner, and when that line happened, I was sitting next to Rick Palacio, who was then the chair of the Democratic Party for Colorado. I swear to God, we're like the only two. We looked at each other and we're like, oh my God, that was really bad.
That was bad. That's gonna.
And I tell you, it went over the heads of everybody else that was in the room. Now, back to Roe in terms of it energizing the electorate. You know, I hope it does. Gee whiz, I hope all these people get out. I don't think it's going to. I really don't.
It didn't in the midterms. Now, granted, it had just happened, but it didn't seem to at least
it's energize people. I just don't know if it's going to have the effect that people in my world think it will. I just, and also the thing about it, it's June.
Yeah.
Well, July. And the election's in November.
Right.
A lot of things are going to happen between now and then.
Right.
Well, what do you think? Six
gas
months
prices
away?
Are going to get higher. Well, anything
can happen. What is your pronostication for the midterms?
Oh, we're going to get shellacked using GW.
You're making too much sense today. You really are. You're saying a lot of things. I'm going, well, that's right. No, that's correct. I agree with that.
I mean, it's. I said this to somebody else the other day. I said we are going to take it up our backside in a major way.
Yeah. What about Colorado?
Colorado, you know, I still think Jared will win because I think overall Jared's doing a good job. I think people view him as doing a good job. And I mean, he's Jared. He's just unique. He's an entrepreneur first, a disruptor second, and a Democrat third. And I think you've seen that in terms of how he's governed and some of the positions that he's taken. I think the Bennett race is going to be very competitive now that it's O'Day. From your viewpoint, it's basically two people in the same party that are running against each other.
Right.
Which I understand what you're saying. I don't necessarily think that's the case. That is a real competitive race. The Secretary of State's race is going to be competitive.
You think?
And yeah.
Well, once again, Zuckerberg versus Zuckerberg.
Because it's going to be a Republican year. And since it's a Republican year, I think, you know, in the treasurer's race, I love Dave Young, but boy, I tell you, that clock is ticking.
Okay. What about if Polis is vulnerable? Because I think there was a lot of thought, at least in our circles, that one of the reasons Democrats did so well when Polis ran is because he put all of his money and his infrastructure
and the ballot harvesting
and into it. Yeah, what we would call ballot harvesting.
We did. I mean, you know, you're allowed to. It's legal. And I've run elections.
Yeah, actually, there is something on the ballot harvesting I want to talk about. Let's talk about this, what you're bringing up, Julie.
Okay.
So if
something else on the ballot harvesting I want to bring up.
Okay, I'll write it down. So there was some thought that if he was easily going to win, he wasn't going to spend that money and wasn't going to gear all that up again, which would be maybe bad for other Democrats down the ticket. But if he does gear it up, that could be good. I mean, do you see that happening? Do you think he's vulnerable enough to be worried and start throwing all kinds of money at it again?
Well, but you always should run that you're losing.
Okay.
You know,
well, 30 million,
well, if it's your 30, money,
yeah,
though,
$30 million worth, $30 million worth.
You know, I don't know. I mean, it definitely benefited Democrats the last time around because he has so many filled offices, and it was quite the effort. You know,
his team,
Lisa Kaufman, who's been with him forever, has done a excellent job. So whether they do that this round for the gubernatorial race, I don't know. I really don't.
Now, we had Dick Wadhams on, and he was saying, and we'll get to the ballot harvesting in a second, he was saying that in his opinion, the fact that they were bothering to throw money, the Democrats, in the meddling ads, you know, again, trying to get Greg Lopez elected, that somebody somewhere had some evidence or at least a belief that Polis was more vulnerable than people would have thought. Would you read it that way, too?
I think it's just a matter of them just trying to be safe.
Okay.
I mean, this is also, I think, a case where they just had too much money lying around.
Right. I agree with that one. Too much money. If there's money, it's got to be spent.
They're just like trying to figure out where they're going to. And I'm going to take absolute total heat for all the stuff that I've been saying in the last 15 minutes. particularly that last one I just said.
Yeah, they just had too much money.
But, it seemed to me it was like a situation where there wasn't a resource constraint. Because when there are resource constraints, it forces you to make decisions. And when you're forced to make those kinds of decisions, you sharpen what you're doing.
Right.
You know, you really focus and you think about it, and you go through it, and you do iterations. And if you have money, you don't necessarily do the iterations. You kind of convince yourself of the BS, you know, or the confusion. It's like, oh, no. People are going to know. You know, the electorate's a lot smarter than people give credit for.
Well, particularly, I would say in a primary. I mean, the people who are voting in the primary probably.
Well, and what's interesting is take a look at the numbers of unaffiliateds voted, because this is the one that really worries me. Is if it becomes the case, and I don't know, I haven't looked at the numbers, that a number of unaffiliateds voted in the Republican primary and they did a campaign around them in order to vote for, let's say, O'Day, then those people are already used to voting for the guy.
Right. Yeah, if you're unaffiliated,
the case you're going to have to make to get them to decide, oh no, I'm going to vote for somebody else,
Right.
I just think
well, I have seen the numbers, and it's around 400,000 Republican voted in the primary, and 240,000 unaffiliated voted in the Republican primary.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I know it's a lot. It's a huge number.
And I
it's
don't
a
think
huge number.
I wouldn't
and a lot more unaffiliated voted in the Republican primary than they did the Democratic.
Although Democrats didn't have a primary.
Well, they don't have primaries. No. They don't believe in primaries. They just they
just annoying, right? We just annoy. Yeah. We get together. We get out.
But
to
I don't think,
absolutely.
Do you
absolutely.
Think? Look, given those numbers, I mean, I don't think that was due to like you know, we saw people become unaffiliated, and there was a big push for them to vote against Lauren Boebert. I don't
because you know, that really that worked really well.
Right. Right.
Around 4 and a third.
But I think
all,
you're right.
All 10 people that did it.
Yeah, I think
there were 3,000.
I think there were like, yes, 3,000, 4,000, something like that.
Oh, good grief. I mean, you could do a dinner party for that.
Yeah. Well, and maybe some of them just hated the Democrat Party anymore, too. They didn't ask them the reasons. But I think you're right. If you're an unaffiliated voter and you're motivated enough to vote for Joe O'Day or Heidi Ganahl in the primary, you're going to vote for them in the general election, I would think.
Yeah.
Okay, so, we'll let you move on then to ballot harvesting.
I'm going to do something that is... I know I'm not supposed to do. I'm going to shut my video off for a minute because I'm going to get something because I want to read it to
okay.
you. And it's going to make your point. As much as I hate saying that I'm going to help you make your point, I'm
Hooray.
Going to help.
Oh, yay! Yay!
All right. So Ted is still there, guys. He's just going to read something.
He's gone into the ethos. The Soros ethos.
Yeah.
All information
Where
is contained.
Okay, Voldemort. Yeah, I had to call Voldemort to find out what I could say. So, you know, what I have here is the Denver envelope, you know, for your mail-in ballot. And when you flip up the little lip that you will stick down once you put your ballot in, it says right here, it's like one, when they have to receive the ballot. And then the second one, and I take this one, I did a triple take. It is a violation of law to receive more than 10 ballots for mailing or delivery in any election. Now, I know what that means is you only can collect 10. But you could read that and think, I get 10 ballots?
You're right.
Well, that's not bad. That's not bad.
Maybe.
You know, and it's in Denver. The Democrats control it. So we're just making sure you know.
Yeah.
You know, what's the difference between 1 and 10?
Yeah.
Well, that means you should call up the Secretary of State's office, Jenna Griswold, and say, Jenna, I only got 9 ballots. Where's my other ballot here?
Right, exactly.
And Arash, you only got 7, so he owes 3 other ballots. That's pretty
funny.
Well,
trust me, he got his 10 and all 10 disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, and because he lives in New York now. Which
so he votes there. He votes there.
Okay. Well, he can vote here too. Tell him that.
He's going to be the 9th Republican in Manhattan.
There you go. There you go.
You can do that. Well, what do you back to what Chuck was saying? So in Colorado, you think Polis is probably safe. Bennett, it's going to be close, but probably safe. What about, I mean, do you pay enough attention to the House seats? Do you think any?
No, it's the Senate we're worried about.
The Senate's where we should be worried. I mean, the House, we're going to lose some seats. I mean, there is something about the House I do want to talk about because it's a bad sign for us. God, I'm coming on your show today and just agreeing with you on everything. On the Senate, though, it's going to be competitive, particularly in this environment. And I just think if you look at the mood and, you know, somebody like O'Day winning by the margins that he did, I just think that there's a mojo, something going on that, you know, with, and I'm using this term from my perspective, and it may not be your perspective, but I think you guys have reasonable Republican candidates. And I think there's a possibility that we lose the Senate, as much as I hate that. The House is just going to, we'll just lose seats, but we'll keep control. But the one to watch was that House District 6, you know, where it was Elizabeth Epps versus Katie March. Katie March was the one I wanted to win. She's a more moderate candidate. Epps was backed by the Working Families Party. Now, granted, it was close. I don't know, it was like 100 votes or something. I just think the sign of that doesn't bode well for my world.
No, why not? Why not?
Well, because the Working Family Party is not where Ted's at.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's communist, basically. That's Candy C. DeBaca.
Yes.
Right, right. And that's not what the party should be. That's not how we're going to win. And if they think that's how we're going to win, then we just need a shellacking so they can learn that we won't.
Right. Well, you sound like us. It's there. We just need a shellacking so they'll realize that.
Well, the one thing the Republicans got is all of Voldemort's money. You know, that caucus thing didn't come out till after all the primary results are in. So he's putting millions in to try to win, particularly the state Senate. He's putting millions into in the state Senate so he can get some tax breaks and stuff. well, it'd be like that leap.
Hey, but I thought you guys like tax breaks.
Well, for
we
us,
get any.
But yeah, we don't get any. We're middle class, you know. And so the tax breaks don't go to the middle class. They go only to.
That's true. Well, just become poor, then get the earned income tax credit.
Yeah, well, that's true.
We're working on that. Well, you guys are helping us.
Yeah, you're helping us on that. With the stock market going down, it's we'll all get there.
Do you think? Okay, so again, back to them. The Democrat, like I said, apparently some of their key things: January 6th, Roe v. Wade, anti-MAGA. If you were advising them, what would, because like I said, I think they're stuck because the kinds of things they have to do to turn things around are exactly the things they don't want to do. At least a portion of the party doesn't.
We should talk about inflation and crime, inflation and crime, inflation and crime, inflation and crime. Oh, did I tell you we should talk about crime and inflation?
But
no, because that's what people see. That's what's affecting them. You know, the crime may not be affecting them directly, but all they have to do is watch a little bit of TV and they see it. And they see, you know, bail reform went south. We went too far. There are too many examples of how, all you have to do is look at the DA, you know, recall race in San Francisco.
Right.
And that should be a major red flag to us. And to sit around and say inflation's transitory or whatever the term is today, or the new liberal world order. And this is, people are gonna look at it and say, okay, we can just say it's Santa Claus's fault. But the reality of it is gas $5 a gallon. Milk is ridiculous. I can't get formula. The next thing we know, we're not going to have toilet paper, and think what the world's going to be like with that.
That's right. Well, and I think, I agree with you.
It'll be real, and it rhymes with witty.
Yeah. And I think that the Democrats, I don't know, is it part of them? They're just talking in an echo chamber. I mean, I hope they continue it because
I think they're polling, Mike. And again, I don't know, cause I'm not in the inside of that group. At least nationally, I think they're doing polling like this. Do you want clean air? Well, of course not. Do you want clean water? Well, of course not. Do you think, you know, parents should be able to have family leave? Well, of course not. And obviously the answers to those are yes.
Right.
You're polling things, you know, individually, not in a context of everything that's going on. So you can frame a question around January 6th that it'd be really hard for you not to say, oh my God, that's awful.
Right.
Or frame a question around MAGA and MAGA supporters and basically equate them to stupid people and promise keepers, or not promise keepers, promise.
Oath keepers.
Promise keepers are the Christians. They're really going to get mad at me.
Right. Oath keepers are proud boys. Keepers.
You know, and that's just, it's blind. I mean, it's super frustrating to me. And,
well,
you know,
how big is it, do you feel, a battle in Colorado between the progressive wing and the, I guess, what do you call your wing? The corporatist wing? Or
I call Voldemort and I ask if I find out from him.
That's what I thought.
It is. It is. And you're going to see a lot of that play out in the Denver mayor's race.
That's a good one to get into. We haven't even talked about that. Yeah, what do you see happening? We only got a few more minutes, but what do you see? What's going on there?
Well, let's just start with Denver's facing a lot of challenges right now, and I'm being really saying it that way. And you know, it's relatively certain, at least all the signs are pointing that way, that Leslie Herod, you know, great criminal justice reform advocate, definitely from the left, she endorsed, you know, Elizabeth Epps in that race, is in for mayor, and she has incredible name ID. Because it's a bright camera that's on, she thinks it's TV, she runs to it.
Okay.
But to her credit, hopefully from my perspective, Kelly Bruff will get in the race, you know, former head of the chamber, but also
talk about her for a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I'll tell one story about Kelly Bruff, and I'm going to get trouble for telling this here because it's kind of public now. But when she was chief of staff for Hickenlooper, it was time to do collective bargaining, you know, negotiations with the police. Right. And she went in with a jar of Vaseline And she put it in the center of the table and she said, okay, we can make this easy or we can make it difficult. Hey, I want that person to be my mayor.
That's what I have always liked, Kelly Brock. You know, I mean, she was Ed Thomas's babysitter.
Ed Thomas's babysitter. Councilman Ed Thomas's babysitter. That's right. She was.
Okay, so she's up there. She'd probably be better than Hancock.
No, she'll get destroyed.
Who else?
I mean, who knows? I mean, Chris Hansen, Senator Chris Hansen's been taking a look at it. There's a rumor Michael Johnson's taking a look at it. I'm sure there'll be three
people. About Tay Anderson?
Tay Anderson. He's going to run.
That's your guy.
It's not a matter of what or if it's when.
For the love of God, please tell me.
He's coming.
Maybe after the traumatic brain injury, we just got to make sure that.
He's still suffering from that. Well, he can set up a GoFundMe page so he can do all of that. All right. Well, Ted, we've run out of time. We're going to have to let you go. Any final thoughts? Any final words? We'll give you a last word here.
Well, no, I love the fact that you guys have such the voice that you do and that we have such a good time.
That's wonderful.
There are probably not that many Democrats that are watching this right now, but if there are Democrats watching it, you know, wake up. You know, there is a bright light coming towards us and it's a train. And we're like tied to the tracks and we need to figure this out. Or we're going to pay a price.
There we go. All right. Ted, thank you so much.
Ted, you're great. As always. Love having you on.
Bye. All right.
Take care.
Thank you. We had a lot of great comments there. I think we have time to read a couple. This is from Jim Jackson. Since pot was legalized in Colorado, every negative has been increased. From Charlene. Yeah, Charlene, we talked about this earlier. I saw you came in a little bit later. Polis got booed at the Stanley Cup celebration. That was a shocker. And from Sandra, Ted, if you're still listening, always a treat when we have Ted on the show. Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. People love you.
All right. Thank you, Ted. And goodbye. You guys, that's going to do it for us. Remember, chuckandjulie.com.
Have a great 4th of July.
Let me remind folks, we will probably on Monday replay this show. So if you came in late and you didn't see it all, you can listen to it then. Thank you to everybody on Zoom, to Ted, the great guys at BBS.
I love having Ted on. It's one of the funnest programs we ever have.
That's right. All right. Happy 4th, everybody. We'll see you later.
Take care.